Welcome to episode 71 of the Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. This episode is a recording of a special event we held in honor of Global Accessibility Awareness Day, where representatives from WP Accessibility, Gravity Forms, Elementor, Civic Press, MyCalendar, Pop-Up Maker, and Equalize Digital shared information about their WordPress products and went in-depth on how each team is working towards improving and maintaining accessibility on the web. For show notes and a full transcript, go to accessibilitycraft.com/071. And now, on to the show.
So welcome to our WordPress Accessibility Day showcase in honor of Global Accessibility Awareness Day 2024. I'm so excited to have these wonderful representatives that we have here today from various plugin and theme companies. As we were talking about what we wanted to do for this year's GAD event, we were talking about how it would be really nice to have some people come that are either just starting out in their accessibility journey with their products or are further along. I'm never going to say done because I don't think we ever are. I mean, in fact, in our plugin, we released a tab fix for our tabs in our meta box this week. Yesterday, says Steve. So I'm very excited. I'm hoping that it might introduce you to some new products or make you aware of some accessibility features and products that you weren't aware of. And if you are a plugin or theme developer, or you're building custom plugins and themes for clients, I'm hoping it might inspire you to think about ways that you can improve the accessibility in what you're building from. So I'm going to do slightly fewer announcements this time, just because we don't have as much time, but we are the caption sponsor for today. And I, if you're not familiar with me, I'm Amber Hines. I'm the CEO of a company called Equalize Digital. We are a mission-driven organization that focuses on WordPress accessibility, and we make the Accessibility Checker plugin, which you'll learn more about in just a little bit. But we are doing a 25% discount now through May 23rd. You can use coupon code GAAD24. That's the number 2 and 4 to get that discount. If you've been thinking about buying Accessibility Checker, now is a great time to do it. I have two upcoming events I want to tease. Our next regular meetup is on Monday, May 20th at 7 p.m. Central Time. And that will be Simon Miner. He's going to be talking about building empathy with stakeholders to drive accessibility. You can learn more about that event and register for it if you just go to our website, equalizedigital.com/meetup. And then the other event that I really want to shout out is WordPress Accessibility Day. And we also have on this call Joe Dolson, are two of the co-lead organizers. And members of the board for WordPress Accessibility Day. It is a separate nonprofit, and we run a full 24-hour event. This year, it's going to be on October 9th and 10th. We have both calls for sponsors and calls for speakers open right now. If you're interested in sponsoring or you are interested in speaking, please go. We do pay our speakers. We have a $300 stipend for our speakers. So please go apply to speak. You can learn more about the event if you go to 2024.wpaccessibility.day. And now what the plan is we're going to go in alphabetical order by name of the tool, and I'm going to be popping people on so they can give a short introduction of the tool and some things they've been doing for accessibility. Then I will stop sharing my slides and we will do a panel. So I am going to pull up my partner, Steve. And I'm going to go away and you can feel free to introduce yourself and your tool.
All right. Glad to be here. My name is Steve Jones. I'm CTO at Equalize Digital and creator of the Accessibility Checker WordPress plugin that automates accessibility scanning, monitoring, and reporting. We developed the Accessibility Checker to democratize accessible testing. Traditional SaaS tools are often too expensive for many clients, developers, and individuals. We aim to create an affordable, fully featured accessible scanner without per page or per scan fees. To achieve this, we included our full set of accessibility rules in the free plugin version, removing cost as a blocker altogether. We also took a step further by providing enhanced features in our Pro plugin to help scan and resolve issues at scale, such as scanning custom post types, generating full site reports, and tracking accessibility improvements over time. We believe that extensive documentation is crucial to accessibility success. By integrating the accessibility checker directly into the WordPress post edit screen and making it available via the front end of your website as well, we created a vital educational tool that provides instant feedback and resources. We also designed the plugin to be accessible to users with varying abilities. The interface is intuitive and easy to navigate, with features like screen reader and keyboard support, ensuring that everyone, regardless of their technical skills or abilities, can effectively use the tool. The Accessibility Checker is truly a tool for everyone, bringing comprehensive and affordable accessibility testing within reach for all WordPress users.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. So the next, I went the wrong direction. Let's see. The next person that we're going to have on our panel today is going to be Michelle. Michelle, if you could introduce yourself and share a little bit about the solution that you're going to be talking about.
Sure. So, hey, everyone. I'm Michelle. I am the director of UX engineering at Lone Rock Point, and I'm the lead front-end developer on our new product called Civic Press. And Civic Press is a WordPress full-site editing theme that is fully integrated with the US web design system. And for those of you that don't immerse yourself in US government details, the US web design system was created to provide a consistent, usable, and trustworthy user experience across all US government websites through a unified design language and site structure. So Civic Press exists to help federal government agencies modernize their websites and meet the requirements of the Integrated Digital Experience Act of 2018 and OMB M2322, which is titled Delivering a Digital First Public Experience. Among many requirements, this delivering a digital first public experience prioritizes accessibility as a key pillar. One of the things it says is agencies should design websites and digital services to be usable by all people, including those with disabilities, without the need for adaptation or specialized design to the greatest extent possible. So that's a big deal. In addition, there's been a longstanding desire for a no-code web builder for government in the US. And with the continuing maturity of the WordPress block editor, we recognized an opportunity to deliver a solution. So we integrated the structure and principles of the US web design system into a full site editing block editor experience. In doing so, we are trying to prioritize accessibility in every step of the process, from the design decisions to the code quality to creating intuitive options for the content creators that are going to be using the theme. That's us.
Great, thank you. So the next person that we're going to have on our panel that I am excited to introduce is Miriam from Elementor. Miriam, could you give a little introduction for yourself and talk about Elementor if anyone hasn't heard of it, and how accessibility plays into Elementor?
Sure. So, hi, my name is Miriam Schwab. I'm head of WordPress relations at Elementor. Elementor is well known for our page builder plugin. And Elementor provides web creators with tools they need to build and host websites. You may not be aware, we have very wide reach, so we power more than 10% of the web. And have over 16 million active installs of our plugin. Because of our wide reach, accessibility is a priority for Elementor. We can be quite impactful with changes that we make to millions of sites. Over the last 2 years or so, accessibility starts to become more of a priority at Elementor, and many releases included accessibility improvements, significant ones and meaningful ones. And some examples are replacing HTML with semantic HTML, and HTML, adding HTML attributes where relevant, improved keyboard navigation and more, which I could talk about as we go on. And also going forward, we've done backwards fixes in the product, but also at this point going forwards, whenever new features are being worked on, there is a part of the workflow that now addresses accessibility. So I'm proud of what we've been doing. Obviously, it's a very big project considering that the plugin has so much functionality, wide-ranging widgets, forms, all sorts of things. So we have to address all of that. But a lot of work has been done, a lot of it has been accomplished, and going forward, there's more plans and. And like I said, it's been a priority for us.
Great, thank you. All right, so our next person that we're going to bring up to introduce herself and her product is Morgan from Gravity Forms.
Hello, I'm a software engineer for Gravity Forms. If you don't know Gravity Forms, it is the most powerful solution for building custom forms. You name it, if you can do it with a form, Gravity Forms will let you do it. E-commerce, contact forms, newsletter signups, and a whole bunch of things that it never occurred to me that you could do with forms, you can do with Gravity Forms. As of 2020, it is now possible to make completely accessible forms with Gravity Forms. You can make forms that are WCAG 2.1 AA compliant. Obviously that depends on what settings you're using. It is possible to make forms that are not accessible, but it's very important for us to make sure that people can make forms that are totally accessible with Gravity Forms.
Wonderful. And it looks like you have a link on the slide. Do you mind just reading out and sharing a brief what that is in case anyone can't see the slides?
Yeah, so our URL is gravityforms.com, but if you go to gravity4.ms/accessibility, that is a page in our documentation site that has our commitment to accessibility, some tips for creating accessible forms, and some guidelines about exactly what settings you need to use to make sure your forms are accessible.
Wonderful, thank you. Sorry, all the button clicking, you guys, it's a little bit, I can't do it super fast. All right, so I am very excited. Joe, as I mentioned before, is our co-organizer, co-lead for WordPress Accessibility Day and does a ton for the WordPress community. And so he's actually going to talk about two of his plugins today. And the first one is My Calendar. Do you want to introduce yourself and introduce My Calendar, Joe?
Certainly. So I'm Joe Dawson. I'm a WordPress core committer and a plugin developer, an accessibility consultant, educator. I do stuff. My Calendar is a plugin I built specifically focused on managing events. It's a pretty full-featured event manager with venue information, event information, categorization, all of the things you expect from an event management plugin. But it's also heavily focused on accessibility. And one of the unique features of it is the fact that it includes management for your event's accessibility features, things like whether or not it has ASL, captioning, various features like that, and also the venue accessibility so that you can document whether this venue is wheelchair accessible, whether it has bariatric seating, all the various things that might be relevant to a specific location. Because this calendar is really built on the idea that accessibility is an all-encompassing experience for events. You need it to be accessible so that people can get to your event page and learn about the event. You need it accessible for the managers of that content. But it's also crucial that the patrons who will actually come to your event are able to get to the event and know what to expect when they get there. And so those event accessibility features are a very important part of it. And on the link there, that's basically just my general page for information about the plugin. There's also a docs site. It's joedalson.com/my-calendar.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right. And then our next person that is going to introduce themselves is Daniel from Pop-Up Maker.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel from Pop-Up Maker, or Code Atlantic to be specific. I've been building WordPress products for 15 years. Wow, 15 years. I've been in the WordPress premium plugin space. This will actually be Pop-Up Maker's 10th anniversary coming up in November. So I've been building products that sell for about 12 years now. With Pop-Up Maker and most of our products, we found that user request was the main driver of accessibility. But we had, I guess, we adapted accessibility much sooner than most others. We were kind of doing the tweaks before WordPress as a whole was kind of moving that direction, but that was mainly just out of user request. And all I would attribute most of our growth to following user requests. So that was a huge driver. The plugins themselves, we try to make sure that the admin editing experience is both fully compliant and you can get around the entire thing with keyboard or voice tools. As well as the front end, our pop-ups for Pop-Up Maker, for example, are fully WCAG compliant. They do focus trapping, so once the pop-up opens, it traps the tab so they can't get out of it, leading to like confusing cyclical tabbing issues. And then we use all the area attributes as well, just to make sure that everything works properly for your pop-ups, just the way the rest of your website does. That's pretty much it. We focus on getting things done early and as quickly as possible, I guess, when adapting to new guidelines and stuff like that.
Wonderful, thank you. All right, we're gonna pop back over because I debated this, but we're going in alphabetical order. So we're gonna go back to Joe Dolson as soon as I find that button to spotlight you. And if you could give us a quick overview of what WP Accessibility is, please.
So WP Accessibility is definitely unique in this group of plugins because it's not a product. It has really no monetization of any kind. But it is one of my most popular tools, for better or for worse. It is essentially a tool I built to fix problems in WordPress. It takes things that are known potential problems, either in WordPress core or in WordPress themes, and just repairs them. And the reason it's able to do that is because these are well-known items. For example, with missing core form labels, that's going to be your comment form or your search form. It can just look at the page and say, okay, I can see there's a comment form. I can easily recognize it because the WordPress core code is known. So it just checks, says, are there labels here? If not, it sticks them in because those are known forms and it can predict what they're going to be. It's a good tool if you're stuck in a situation where you have a theme that is not accessible, but you can't just change it or remediate it itself. But ultimately, the main purpose for WP Accessibility is to drive people to awareness of potential problems. So one of the main things I've been adding over the last few years has just been surfacing the issues it's correcting to the user. So it's added a stat dashboard that tells people, hey, this is what WP Accessibility has done on these pages. But it does also include some features that you can use to enhance accessibility, like the ability to make your alt text visible on images with a toggle, similar to what you might see on Twitter or other social media platforms where there's a little button on the image that can expose the alt text for that image.
Right, so that is our panel. Let me stop sharing and I'm going to make sure that we have everybody spotlighted. So just give me one second. While we are doing that, I do want to note we're going to run through a few questions, but we will have time to answer questions that you all might have. There is a Q&A module in the in Zoom. If you can put your questions there, they're a little bit easier for me to track than in the chat. So if you have any questions while we're working through our panel discussion for any of these WordPress product developers, please feel free to throw them in there. So I wanted to start with sort of talking about how accessibility has maybe evolved over time within products. How is it? Where did it start? Where is it now? How is it changing? And we didn't really talk about this, but you guys can feel free to jump in if you want, or we can kind of go in order that we went in before. You can decide.
Well, I'll just dive in.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to dive in because, I mean, my calendar, I built it from the very beginning to be an accessible plugin, but I built it in 2009. And so, over the course of 15 years, that's an enormous amount of change. And not the least of that is the fact that, in 2009, WCAG 2 was only a year old. ARIA, the ARIA specifications had not yet been released and weren't released until 2014. HTML5 didn't become a recommendation until 2014. So all of those are enormous changes that I've had to implement over the years to change what was accessible about the plugin. And that's a continuous process. Everything that needs to be accessible is just kind of changing nonstop as the web evolves and as the expectations of the user evolve for what's considered to be accessible. Something that was accessible in 2009 would now be looked at as just being terrible.
Yeah. I mean, I would say from our perspective, we kind of have to hit this at two angles, right? We have to hit it from the perspective of evaluating accessibility and making sure that our rule set is in line with the current guidelines, and also modifying those rule sets to be compatible with WordPress, making sure we're not creating a lot of noise, you know, like flagging spacer blocks and stuff, right? Like things that we know WordPress does, and making modifications in that regard. But I think the other side of that is that we do spend time improving the actual accessibility of our UI elements in the back end of WordPress as well. I mean, like Amber briefly mentioned at the beginning, like we actually released a feature yesterday in the plugin that like refactors some of the tabs to be more accessible. Now, were they usable before? Yes. But are they better now? Yeah. So it's just a constant thing that we try to do, and we try to improve upon. And there's people in the community like Joe and Alex Stein that will submit issues to our repo and with great accessibility recommendations, and we try to prioritize those.
I've personally spent way too much time optimizing interfaces with Alex. Probably to the point where we could have stopped a day in, and we ended up spending 5 days just like over optimizing and improving things. There's always small room for improvement, but there is, I think you can get to a good base point where you can, the majority or even all of your users can use the product properly, even if everything's not completely optimized. So I think that should be the goal of any product, is to get to that base optimization where there's nobody falling through the crack. And then if you have further enhancements, obviously that's a good way to approach it.
Yeah.
I think the human partnership is, you know, important to state here too. You know, we are a newer product that we're working on. We're pre-launch right now. And obviously we're trying to make decisions, you know, with our code and with the things we're doing to not like build something that doesn't work. But I think the human partnerships, both in, you know, some of you like being able to support Gravity Forms, working with Accessibility Checker, making sure that our stuff works there. But also we had an accessibility audit done by EqualMade LLC, like please go through everything. And they were able to identify several existing issues, many of which we've been able to remediate. And for the ones that we aren't, you know, we're making it public as like an ongoing discussion of like, here are the issues that we've been made aware of. Some of these issues come from WordPress itself. Some of these issues come from the US Web Design System. Here's what we're doing to work on them. But I think those human partnerships, working with people, has really made the difference, because you can only automate it so far, you know.
I think finding people who use accessibility tools in their day-to-day, like Alex, is important too. There's only so much somebody who doesn't actually use these tools on a day-to-day basis for their own needs, like, can do. There's a lot of little nuances how speech to text works that you're not going to find just tabbing through a page really quickly. It's the day-to-day usage that you're going to really find the things that need tweaking.
I always kind of tell people that as a non-expert, you know, non-native user of a screen reader, you can do a really good job of micro-testing, testing very specific interactions and making sure these two things work well together. But as far as overall usability, that you can't get there unless you really know the tools. and have an experience of what you expect from them.
So I think on that note, it might be interesting to go into for you all as you're working on, you know, making accessibility changes. Is there anything that's been surprising or that you've learned through the process, or maybe particularly challenging to accomplish in the WordPress environment?
Keeping up with the changes, to be honest. WCAG, they have a public notification thing, but there's no real channel to get that to me unless I go seeking it. So either our users come to us with new stuff that they want to see done in our plugin, so we're actually second to find out because the users found it first. There just needs to be a better communication channel from these groups who create the rules and stuff down to the level. And that's probably on us too, not just them.
Yeah, I think if you're really embedded in the accessibility community, you hear about them no matter what. You can't avoid it. But yeah, I don't know that there's a great channel for that.
Join our email list. We send links to stuff. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like you have to get connected to people, right?
Yeah.
What if, Miriam, I know that you're doing stuff with Elementor, and one of your developers actually came in the WordPress Accessibility Facebook group and posted, like, he was working on totally redoing your mega menu, which has released, and he posted and asked for feedback. And is that something that you all have written, like, for your team, like, here are places you can go, or did he just do that? Like, I don't know if there's something other product developers could learn from that, right, about how to go find people to test things.
So, someone from our team named Hein, and he and someone else named Rami, they basically lead our accessibility efforts, which is amazing that two people can do so much. I mean, it's obviously there's more people involved on the R&D team, but they lead these initiatives. And Elementor, most of our users are using our free plugin, the core plugin that's available in the WordPress repository. And we also have a publicly available GitHub repo where people can submit issues. And so a lot of our product development and testing and QA, and that applies to accessibility as well, is based on putting it out there to the community and getting people's feedback. So I'm guessing that Hein figured that out on his own, and it's a great approach to doing it. It's one of the best ways to make sure that you're building, like, good products by getting that type of external perspective where, you know, like you were saying, like, we're all in the weeds, so we don't always notice everything. And it's good to have people from the outside coming in. So and also that specific feature was actually a community effort. So I think there was a lot of demand for that, not demand in a bad way, but like, we really could use this. we need this. And so that was taken seriously. And because it came from the community, I also went back into the community to be like, hey, what do you guys think? How does this look to you? And do you have any feedback? But in general, that kind of feedback loop with our users and the community is pretty strong in our product development. And I highly recommend it on almost every aspect of product development. It really helps fine tune things. And so that's what happened there, more or less.
What about you, Morgan? Oh, sorry, go ahead, Michelle. I was just going to ask Morgan if there's anything that they found challenging or surprising when they were working on accessibility at Gravity Forms.
There are a lot of challenges, especially building a product that a lot of you have products that are geared towards people who care about accessibility. You know, you have an accessibility checker. Anybody coming to this product already cares about accessibility. Our product users, a lot of people come to us because they can use our product to build accessible forms, but we also have a lot of customers who just want to build forms and accessibility isn't something they particularly know about or care about. So sometimes it's been a challenge trying to educate people within the product. So like we have, you can add a multi-select field to your form. Multi-select fields are not accessible. There's no way to make them accessible. They're terrible. But people want them in their forms. So we've got a notice in the form saying, this is not accessible. So there's this kind of challenge of trying to educate people about best practices while also letting them make their own decisions about what to do. And particularly educating people who maybe it wasn't on their radar that accessibility is something they should care about. That's been a challenge for us. And, you know, it's frustrating when we build a feature like just in the past week or two, I got a request. We have a little legend at the top of a form saying, you know, asterisk means this field is required. And there was somebody complaining, I want to get rid of this. I don't want that thing there. And no, you need that there. Please leave it there, please. But, you know, trying to balance keeping our customers happy while also not helping them make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a really great tie into some of the stuff I was going to say. The thing that we've been, you know, kind of really learning and embracing about accessibility is that it's not just about, you know, making sure that your code is, you know, usable by assistive devices or making sure that your color contrast meets some standard. Accessibility isn't just about like the technical side of things. The content that you're creating is also an extremely important part of accessibility. And I know we are doing a theme, so we're working with content creators, and form creators are also content creators, right? Like, how do we empower the content creator to not take our theme that we put a lot of work into making sure it was technically good and then build content that isn't accessible because they can? So what we're thinking about holistically is like, how do we empower the content creators to build accessible content? Like, what can we do to help them? And I think that's an important part of the process. Because yeah, they're not necessarily going in there thinking, how can I make something accessible? They're just saying, I want to write some content. And we want to help them be able to do that accessibly without them having to think about it.
Forms in particular, that really comes up because it's something the user is interacting with. And like, sure, you can have all the color contrast you want, but if you've got 500 fields in your form, that's still going to be really hard for people to deal with. So yeah, we see a lot of, oof, anybody actually capable of filling out this form? And yeah, that has nothing to do with having disabilities or needing assistive technologies. It's just, you're a human being and you only have so much brain capacity. How can you absorb this information well?
Yeah, I think that figuring out that kind of balance point between making it possible for your users to do the things they want to do while keeping the things as accessible as you want them to be is really quite challenging. And I've definitely encountered that a lot with my calendar because people are constantly asking for things that I just, like, I don't want to provide that. I don't think you should do that. And I'm not going to add it. And it's certainly, it's frustrating, and it's a difficult thing to figure out exactly what to do about.
So at Elementor, our focus in terms of the accessibility work we've been doing has actually primarily been around technical accessibility. So making sure that our front end code output is more and more accessible, right? We're not there like 100%. I don't know if we'll ever be there. I don't know
if anyone ever is there though.
But the idea is to always be making progress. And so the progress is primarily focused on that. So, but then, like you're saying, someone can then come and just build a horrible website with the page builder because they can. Also, you know, they should be able to build whatever website they want, even if it's horrible. Like anyone, you know, everyone doesn't have to be the most amazing web builders. They want a website up there. They want to express themselves in some way. So go ahead and do it. You don't have to be a web designer and creator and expert and also SEO and also accessibility. So we take care of the on the code side, on the front end code side, a lot of that. But then what happens on the content creation side? So that's some of what we're working on next, which is hints and like guiding tips to indicate to people like, okay, you're about to do something that will make your site less accessible or inaccessible to certain types, to certain people. So, you know, take that into consideration. And I think, you know, I'm not sure how much more we can do except for maybe AI, which I know everyone ends up talking about. So sorry, keyword, but AI will actually be the next level of this where it can really, really help guide users to build their sites and create their content in a way that's accessible. And also remove that response, like the need to be experts from them and offload it to AI. I hope that feels like the hope for the content creation side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that was our goal with our plugin, was because we would build websites that were so accessible and hand them off to our clients. And then our clients would come back and be like, what happened? But yeah, I feel like, and before Gravity Forms, I feel like Gravity Forms was the one I first saw that had those hints. Core has some hints, right, about color contrast, or if you've forgotten to put alt text on something or explaining what the alt text field is for. But I would love to see all plugins do that, having some guidance in them. I think that'd be great.
That probably requires some improvements to Core, similar how they added the privacy policy generators and stuff in Core. They need framework for us plugin developers to build around, if that makes sense. So the best place for anything like that to start would be in WordPress Core improvements with a toolkit.
What does that mean specifically, like adding filters that you could then hook into to add your own message?
Not just that, possibly even you're talking about scanning tools and stuff like that. If you want to do contrast checking, you need something that's persistently on the page checking you and notifying you. And then if it shows up in my elements, then maybe I customize the notice. I don't really know what it looks like, but you have to decide what things you want to accomplish across all of these plugins and then give them a unified set of tools to notify. And I mean, think about how archaic admin notices are right now with no single unified entry point. Like it's the Wild West. Every plugin has their own. They all show up at once. They all don't show up at once. So without a unified thing, you're going to get the Wild West approach and everybody's going to throw their own solution. So if you want to really solve this across everybody, it's got to be from the core first. That's a whole nother panel.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. We have a whole panel discussion on that. All right. So I do want to transition into some of the questions that we've had coming into the Q&A. But before I do that, can each of you tease something that's coming in your products from an accessibility perspective, or maybe share any future goals for accessibility that you have? We can go in the same order that we did initially. So Steve, that'll put you up first.
All right. So I'm up first. I think in the very near future, kind of a little tease for the plugin is that we're creating a deeper integration with DQX Core library. We're coupling our rules with Axe Core and modifying a lot of those rules to kind of cater towards WordPress. And what the net result of that is just going to be more accuracy and, you know, being able to utilize, you know, all the work that's gone into that library itself and bringing that fully into our plugin. We're a little further out. We're working on the role of the plugin has always been to evaluate and report on accessibility issues, right? We're working on taking steps beyond that. First of all, segmenting issues out by user role to reduce noise to certain users. You know, for example, editors don't need to be alerted to global accessibility issues on the website in most cases, right? But admins likely do need to be notified of global accessibility issues. And then I think maybe even a little further out is I think the accessibility checker is going to mature into aiding in the remediation process by offering fixes for certain accessibility issues.
Great. Do you guys remember what order you were in?
I think it's alphabetical, right? So I think we were next.
Yep.
Sure. So obviously as a theme, that's kind of also going to be delivered a little bit more like a software as a service. We don't have the exact, I can't really speak to how it's working, but it's not just a theme, right? But as a theme, like we have a responsibility, obviously, to stay up to date, not only with Core WordPress, but also with the USWDS and continuing to document all of that at our accessibility URL I shared earlier. Internally, as part of our process, we are going to be integrating Pali, I think that's how you say it. I never know how to pronounce the 11 into our DevOps process via GitHub Actions. What we're trying to do is kind of capture accessibility issues in the code as early as possible in the software development cycle. So this is across everything we do, but this is going to have a major impact on Civic Press. And also for the people that will be using our product, we're going to be bundling Civic Press with Accessibility Checker Pro every time, so that again, when it comes to content creation, the site owners, the content creators will be able to monitor the ongoing accessibility status of their content within all Civic Press powered sites.
I think I'm next alphabetically. We're going to be continuing applying accessibility to new features, as I mentioned, that is part of our workflow. And in addition, as new best practices and patterns become available, we're also trying to apply them as well. And that's part of our future roadmap as well. In terms of new things that we're going to be offering, it comes back to trying to improve how users build the sites. So more hints and tips around things like contrast, alt tags, alt tag length, even things like that. So that's also on the roadmap and coming sometime soon.
Wonderful.
So in Gravity Forms, our front end is accessible, but the work in the dashboard is not in a lot of ways. And it's actually a little embarrassing how some of our settings forms in the back end are really not accessible at all. So we're working on, we have had an accessibility audit done of all of our admin screens, and we're incrementally making changes there. So Gravity Forms 2.9 is going to come out sometime this summer, and you'll see some accessibility improvements in the form editor in 2.9. And we're continuing to gradually work on making the entire dashboard accessible.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Joe, do you want to talk about both of yours at once?
Yeah, why don't we do that? So for my calendar, of course, I just released a major update 2 weeks ago, and that revamped the navigation, added a new templating structure, replaced the style editor, and some other major change. I don't remember what. So right now I'm kind of between major changes, but my next accessibility goal for it is actually to really improve the way it manages venue and event accessibility features. Because that is something I built a long time ago, and the internal architecture of it is terrible. And it needs some work.
We're always our best critic or our worst critic. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a legitimate thing to say that it's terrible. I mean, honestly, the accessibility information for an event is stored as a serialized array. It's not great. So for WP accessibility, mostly I want to just continue exposing more information to the user and trying to get people to be aware of whether or not those remediation features are actually doing anything on their website and give them some more guidance about what to do about that. Because the reality is, I would ultimately like to split WP accessibility into two plugins. I'd like it to be one plugin which adds features, because those are permanently useful and you may always want those, and a completely separate one that does the remediation stuff, which is honestly stuff that in the long run you should just not be using. But I can't tell people, you should just install WP accessibility, find out what it fixes, change that, and then get rid of it, because you might actually be using these features. But splitting a plugin is not an easy task. Figuring out how to distribute those features, like that's not going to be fun. Should have done it 10 years ago.
There you
So that an example of that, like you have the toolbar that maybe, or the color contrast toggle that maybe people would want forever and not have to code that into their
Right,
game,
or they
but.
might want to have the button that toggles alt attributes on their images for visibility. That might be something that they want forever. They might want the thing that, highlights images without alt text in the admin. That might be something that they want
for
forever.
accessibility features versus a checker.
Right. Whereas
Sure.
like the thing that replace that remediates comment forms that don't have labels, well, once you've added labels, you don't need that. And it's not going to do anything if the form has labels, but it's also it's just wasted cycles on the, in the scripting.
So it'd be something where they could just go fix that in their theme and then they don't need a plugin to do it.
Right.
That kind of
yeah.
thing.
Just modularize it and then you don't have to separate into plugins.
Yeah,
Make
indeed.
The entire scanner disableable.
Yeah.
So Daniel, what about Pop-Up Maker? What do you have coming there?
So Pop-Up Maker version 2 has been kind of long in the works, but we updated a bunch of other products. We're moving everything to JavaScript React in the back end. So tons of accessibility work as we replace fully accessible forms with new stuff that has to be completely tested from scratch again. So that'll be fun. We're using a lot of off-the-shelf stuff from Gutenberg component libraries and stuff like that, which will kind of speed things up, but at the same time I tend to find all of the bugs in those and that requires a completely separate line of fixing things. So that's where we're heading with that. We're also actually bringing a SaaS service to the market, which is pretty cool. So we've got to make sure that that's accessible too for the back end. It'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to go through some of the questions that we have in the Q&A module. If anyone watching has questions for our panelists, please post them there and we will work through them. Joe, it looked like the first one was for you. Heather asked, how does your calendar address accessibility better than some basic ones we use like Spiffy Calendar? I haven't heard of this. So I don't know if you have.
So I have heard of Spiffy Calendar. I've never looked at it. So I can't really directly answer the question of how is it different from Spiffy Calendar. I can tell you how it does the main table layout, which is to say that it is an accessible responsive table with three alternate options for how it can work on mobile, depending on your preferences. But the table is a straightforward table with the table headers are the days of the month. But then it's responsive, but retains the accessibility semantics when it is converted for mobile. It also has an option so that you can have it just switch to a different output on mobile devices. It can either be a mini version of the calendar that omits the titles of the events and just has a button to expand a modal, or it can be a list of events on mobile devices. That can be tricky just because having different output on different devices can really mess with your caching.
But you do have a list view as well for
there is also a list view and a card view.
That.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Morgan, I think you maybe addressed this already, but Taylor had asked more about accessibility in the back end, and it sounds like you are working on that and that's coming soon.
Yeah. Specifically the ability to reorder fields in the editor. We are working on that. That's not going to happen in 2.9. That's going slowly because we're moving towards React in the form editor too. So that's a big change that we need to do very carefully. But we are working on it. I have seen Taylor's plugin for reordering things, and we might, if that's going to take a long time, we might put in a kind of temporary fix to make that a little bit easier. But we're working on it.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Gary had asked, Daniel, this is a question for you. Does Pop-Up Maker block whatever is behind the modal or pop-up? Gary has tried with other plugins and the tab key gets components that are behind the pop-up.
Correct. On other plugins. As soon as the pop-up opens, we actually trap the tab and focus. You won't be able to focus or tab outside the pop-up until it's closed. You can disable the overlay for any given pop-up, making it like a less of a pop-up and more of a, you know, an alt popover or a supplemental content to the page, in which case the tab focus trapping is disabled. But that's an intentional choice you have to turn on and then configure yourself. So out of the box, yes, it does that. It automatically focuses the first focusable element in the pop-up when it's opened, and then they can't get outside of it until you close it.
And that plugin can be used not just for like timed triggered or user triggered, it could also be like triggered by a button click. Right,
yep.
To replace
click,
like Easy Fancy Box or something like that that's not accessible, you could use Pop-Up Maker to do the same thing.
Correct. And you can hook our pop-ups to pretty much any element on the page, even if you can't edit the element itself, which is a nice to have when some themes don't let you edit the nav menu or the header buttons, for example. So you can still tap into those. And then, of course, it works with pretty much all of the form plugins. So you throw a Gravity form in there and it just works as well.
Karen had asked, maybe as broadly for everyone. Karen says her clients who care about accessibility often need to also accommodate languages other than English. To what extent are the accessibility vendors also compatible with multilingual tools such as WPML? Anyone want to jump on that one?
I'm not.
So my
WPML, I'm
calendar
sorry.
doesn't work well with WPML.
No.
No,
It
I'm
uses
saying
a independent database architecture, so it's outside of the posts table, and that makes working with translation plugins really a huge hassle.
our targeting rules make working specifically WPML a little difficult because of the way that they map, like say if you have a post that's post ID 1 and it's in English and the Spanish version's number 2, but you target your pop-up to only show the post number 1, but then they change the language. Now which post are we supposed to check whether they're viewing or not? Like there's this remapping of data points because they're checking like a one or an end-to-end connection, and we're checking another different end-to-end connection, and it all has to be remapped. So we have some fun with them, and we actually have back channels with most of those teams to try to work out those problems over time.
I have
So
to say,
we do work
honestly,
with them, but it's not my favorite
I'm just
plugin.
waiting for Core to finally do multilingual because honestly, at this stage, I feel it's soon enough that it's just not worth my time to try and make it work with all of these plugins. And it is worth my time to just say, Core will have multilingual eventually, and then I will implement it.
I think this goes back to what I was mentioning earlier about the accessibility tools within Core. Until this is fundamentally solved in the right place, it's going to be an archaic mix of solutions.
And that's the thing, like you have to do it differently for WPML and then something else for Polylang. And I'm like, oh, it's just, I'm an independent developer. I'm doing this by myself. I don't have that kind of time.
So Elementor is not an accessibility tool per se, right? So I mean, we're compatible with WPML, but like beyond that, in from an accessibility perspective, it's however accessible WPML is, more or less for our users.
I mean, I would say as a theme, we are as compatible as WordPress core is, right? We're trying not to do anything. And so what I will say is, as a theme, we are trying to write our styles in kind of a new modern way that is flexible with left to right versus right to left. We haven't tested it extensively because we're mostly targeting the US government and US government agencies, but they obviously also have language needs. So that's where we're at with that.
Oh, Elementor is very right to left compatible, considering the bulk of the companies
Drill.
based in Israel. Hebrew. So it's all ready for our right to left. In fact, in the beginning, at least in some ways, it worked better right to left. So yeah, we're good on that front.
Steve, do you want to speak to where language is right now in our accessibility checking? Because I know it generally works, but there's a few gaps in some of our rules that don't, I'm not totally sure if they all do non-English yet.
I mean, I think I share the same sentiment that, Joe and Daniel, expressed as, the challenges of being compatible with plugins like WPML. I mean, we do what we can for localization to be compliant with localization for core to get those strings translated properly. But there are like some of the keywords in our rules, like if we're checking for certain keywords in an alt text or in a link, some of those may not be completely translatable currently.
Okay, I'm going to try and get through some of these fast just because of time. Taylor had asked Miriam, can you share anything? Have you all started to think about accessibility in the editor of Elementor?
Definitely. We're aware that it is not compatible. It's not accessible. When starting the work on accessibility, it was like not exactly low hanging fruit, but highest impact type of work. So most people interacting with elementary sites are actually the visitors, right? I mean, if you consider each site is built by one or two people, but then how many people are actually visiting the site? So we wanted to make sure that the front end code was accessible, and you know, help our users build their sites in a more accessible way. So that was a priority. Also, keeping in mind that Elementor's code base is like, it's almost 8 years old. June is going to be 8 years, and it's massive. So everything is like a massive uphill battle, and also in terms of checking backwards compatibility. So this is not an excuse, it's an explanation as to why it's a big challenge to take something that big and that old and make it accessible. So it's you know, on the horizon. It's something that we're very aware of, and it is something that's important for us. I don't have an ETA on that, but so unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, like right now, we know it's not, and I don't know when it will be, but it's like on the roadmap for accessibility. So, yeah, sorry, that's not a great answer, but that's what it is.
The big plugin.
Yeah. It is a journey always, I think. So I think we only have time for one more question, and I know there are a lot here. So I will work with our panelists to try and get answers to any questions, and we can post those answers when we do the recap. What I would like to end on is a good question that Mark posted, which we touched on a little bit, but at what point do you cross a bridge and say no to a product release because it's not accessible? I'm curious to hear if you all have ever had that, and for the product developers who are watching this, what advice you might have for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think for us, a company called Equalize Digital that specializes in accessibility,
we might have a lower threshold for shelving something.
Yeah. It takes a lot for us to release something that's not accessible. And if that was to happen, then it would probably require some sort of sign up from the client, them acknowledging the accessible issue, or, you know, we have an accessibility statement that outlines that accessibility issue. So the threshold for us releasing is pretty high if we're not releasing something that's fully accessible.
I think in our plugin too, we've done a lot of testing, and we've had multiple different blind users test the admin and that kind of stuff. So we try to be really thorough, but as I mentioned, you know, sometimes we miss stuff, and so it does go out. But we do have a process, and we critical priority if we get something with an A11Y flag in our GitHub repo as an issue.
Yeah, so. Totally.
I typically just push the update, but I also think that while I'm coding it, I'm tabbing and using all of the tools, and I've built my developer knowledge base that I automatically add area attributes where they're necessary. So it's probably a mixed bag. It's probably, we wouldn't ship it if it was truly just broken, busted, but it's, as a non-accessibility first plugin, as a product who focuses on just being accessible as a feature, I guess, it's not the end all if we need to push a bug fix or something that's not compatible completely, because we need to, with almost 1 million users, we have to get the solutions out to the most number of people quickly, as to prevent a bleeding of or an exponential growth of support tickets and things that could be prevented entirely. But then we always try to follow up very quickly with remediations on anything that we missed or something like that. So it's a yes and no answer.
I think that's a really valid point that, you know, mm-hmm. when you have a very large user base, and if somebody reports something that could be breaking the front end of everyone's website, maybe you have to just patch that thing real quick and then follow up with an accessibility patch as a second.
Right. So for us, like I mentioned, that accessibility has become part of our workflow for new features, which is great. I'm sure that some features for various reasons get released when they're not fully accessible, or that it hasn't passed that check due to constraints, time constraints, who knows what, like that kind of thing. But I think for Elementor, a lot of products, like we're now trying to fix, you know, 8 years of stuff. And so we don't want to be there again. So the more we do now in real time, the less we'll have to do backwards compatibility and try to fix things like down the line. And I mean, this is my personal perspective, but accessibility is going to become, it's obviously, it's very important, but it's going to become in higher demand, and requirement for technical reasons and for potentially even, legal reasons. And so we all want to be set up for success around that. And so doing that now, as much as possible, again, nothing's perfect, but as much as possible, I think it's just saving us all a lot of pain down the line, and just generally also making sure that in the present our products are more accessible to people.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you all taking an hour out of your day on Global Accessibility Awareness Day to share your expertise and your thoughts. I will follow up, as I mentioned, and see if we can get some additional answers to any of these questions. As a quick recap, can we just go around and say where someone can get in touch with you if they want to follow up with you personally about your products or what you're working on?
Cool. Same order, I guess, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
We know it now.
Yeah. I mean, you can find all the details about us at equalizeddigital.com. If you're looking for me personally, I can be found in most places that I would like to be found at Steve Jones Dev on Twitter and GitHub and other places. So yeah.
Sure. So if you're looking for Civic Press, I'm sharing a specific link in the chat. If you're interested in learning more specifically about Civic Press or how to get started with that. Otherwise, if you're looking for me personally, I am pretty easy to find. I'm Mark Time Media on the artist formerly known as Twitter. And Lone Rock Point is also on Twitter. So you can find all of us there.
So you can find Elementor on various social media platforms. We would love for people to submit feedback and issues to us. You can do that on our GitHub repository. So just look for Elementor GitHub, you'll find it. There's instructions there how to submit issues. And we have quite a big and active Facebook group, the Global Elementor Community. So you can also raise issues there or ask questions. We have quite an active community and also our own moderators there. If you want to get in touch with me. So good way is you can DM me on also the artist formerly known as Twitter. My DMs are open. I'm Miriam Schwab, there at Miriam Schwab.
If you want to get in touch with me, there are contact forms on gravityforms.com. Or
Really?
you can email me, morgan@rocketgenius.com. And I saw several people in the Q&A and in the chats offering to do testing. I would love to have a group of people help test out Gravity Forms. So if you're interested in doing that, please email me, morgan@rocketgenius.com, and we'll get that going. Thanks.
I think it's me now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. So you can find me at joedalson.com. I am a sole developer. So if you submit to any of my contact forms, it goes to me. If you submit a support request on any of my plugins, it goes to me. You can find me on most social media at Joe Dalson, JoeDolson. If what you want to learn from me is more about how to make WordPress accessible, I'm going to drop a link in the chat, which is to my LinkedIn Learning course, which is on that topic. It's a 3-hour course on making WordPress sites accessible. I can only answer so many emails about it.
Watch the course first, then ask questions.
Yep.
You can reach out to, I put links in the chat over there, for my Twitter at Daniel_Iser. If you want to reach out for developer stuff, if you have questions for our product team, we have dedicated and awesome support. So I recommend using any of the support forms on wppopupmaker.com/support, or if it's about general, if it's not Pop-Up Maker specific, you can code Atlantic slash support.
Great. Well, thank you everyone so much. I'm just going to give a second for the captions to catch up with us, and then I will end the webinar. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Think so.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.